welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I want to welcome our listeners and viewers, our Christian Television Network audience. You know, you can catch us now, those on the Gulf Coast, at 5:30 every single day. 5:30 Monday through Friday. You know, you imagine all the things that you get hit with in your daily life. And all the news, all the, you know, sometimes tragedy, sometimes difficult things, just real hard. Sometimes it's rough. But think about being able to come home, have dinner, and listen to hope. Listen to a light perspective, you know, from what does God have to say about this day? And that's what we try to do, is bring you the, not only the news, but what, you know, the news behind the news, what's really going on here. And God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So having that viewpoint is very, very, very important, especially if 81% of the folks aren't even picking up their Bibles. You know, some of the Bibles that people may only read is what they see in you. And so we try to bring that perspective to you on a daily basis on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. If you miss our earlier programs, it's amazing, you know, what's taking place right now in the world. But the, a Sudan court is sentenced a woman to life imprisonment to death because she refused to renounce her faith in Jesus Christ.
Pregnant.
Pregnant and has an 18-month-old child that they let go to prison with her, and she has a Christian husband, American husband, and all we have to do really is issue her a visa. You can find out more about that by listening to an earlier program. Find out more at VFNTV.com. And we're excited about new ways of bringing to you our program. You can get us through podcasting. You can get us through the radio. You can get us through VFNTV.com, on Christian Television Network. Just so many different ways. The VFN Torch, the Torch newsletter. I mean, it's just because you never know. You need it how you need it. You know, life is just so busy and so hectic today. We make that available for you. I want to talk about, of course, we're going to talk about the storm, you know, that you have to talk about. But, you know, why we abide. In this program, I'd like to be able to talk more about, you know, why do we abide? It's so important. Jesus said, apart from abiding, you know, we can do nothing. We cannot be fruitful. And yet we're called to be fruitful. And we're actually, our fruit determines who we really are.
That's right.
And so we're going to talk about that today. What does it really mean? Because some people just almost spend their time abiding or reading the Bible. It's like paying penance.
Right.
It's time to read. It's time to read my Bible. You read two chapters a day, come heck or high water, whether I get anything or not. There's people that says, I read through the entire Bible this year. You did. Well, did you ever think about tithing? No, think about it. I'm part of the 97% that don't.
That part.
Right. Did you ever think about living your marriage in God's order? That's old stuff. So you just wanted the bragging rights. You wanted to be able to tell people you read all the way through it, right? Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Just read one chapter and do it. I think that would be greater benefit towards you than this quest of reading everything and doing nothing.
Right.
You know? And it'd be humbling because then you don't know everything.
That's right.
Or think you know everything. But we're going to be talking about that as well. And there's a mob.
Yes.
A mob scene going on over here.
Yes, there was a mob scene in the Atlanta airport. And we're going to share with you what happens when just a few people get together and start worshiping in the Atlanta airport. You're going to be amazed, but kind of very, very interesting. We'll make sure that's related to Field of the Torch, but it's coming up.
So talk to us. I mean, you know, how can you have peace in a storm?
Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, I was abiding and I was thinking about this as I was just spending time with the Lord, because a lot of times people experience storms in their life. I mean, Jesus said, in this life, you will have many troubles. But oftentimes I see people who live life that are surprised that trouble came. Like, how are you surprised? How are you surprised that trouble here is at your door, especially if you're living a life that's not, you know, agreeable to the Lord? Stuff is going to happen in your life, but whether you're living for God, whether you're not, things are going to happen. And so storms of life will come. And the thing about storms is, you got to understand that God has peace for us. In fact, he is the God of peace. And the Bible calls him, calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. And you can have peace today. Many people are living anxious lives, totally stressed out, have total mental uneasiness in their minds. And it's a way of absolutely draining not only you, but the people that you live with you and around you. Because it just sucks everything out. Well, Philippians 4 tells us, and I love this scripture, Philippians 4:19, says, do not be anxious about anything. And I love the Word of God because that same scripture applies to the guy who's worrying about, you know, maybe not being able to make an event that he was supposed to go to, so he's all anxious about it. But it also applies to Saeed right now, Pastor Saeed, who's in prison.
In Iran.
In Iran! Hello? I mean, that word is for him as well, in any trial. God tells us in his word, do not be anxious, which is mental distress, uneasiness, fear of misfortune. Do not be anxious about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But in everything, by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. So in essence, he's saying, hey, listen, don't spend your time worrying, stressing, being fretful about something that you cannot change anyway.
Right.
But instead, do the thing that can actually help you in your situation. Mm-hmm. But instead, in prayer and petition, right, present your request to God with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. And the peace of God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. And that word transcends means rises above.
Mm-hmm.
The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So literally, when we turn away from anxious thoughts, when we turn away from these fretful things that come to attack our mind, that literally disturb us and sap us of all of our energy, of all of our strength,
right,
we can actually go to God in prayer, since he's the one who knows everything. Mm-hmm. He knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time. He's the one who is in control. He's the one that loves you. By prayer and petition, the thing that you're concerned about, the thing that you're worrying about, the thing that has literally stolen your joy and your peace, you can actually present that request to God, the one who can handle it. And then as you do that, as you release it to God, the peace of God begins to transcend. It rises above your ability to understand it, and it would then tend to protect your mind and your heart. Oftentimes, I've spoken to people who have gone through a tremendous trial, but because they sought the Lord in their trial, they say, listen, I don't understand. I don't get it. Right now, this is the big one that I'm experiencing in my life. I just lost a loved one, but I just have the peace of God on me. It's protecting me. It's protecting my mind. I'm not fretful. I'm okay. I feel the peace of God. Right. And I want to encourage you today that, listen, God has peace for you. You don't have to be fretful. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be drained of your life, but God's peace will be upon you when you turn to him and literally enter that place of relationship, of prayer, communicating with the one who can actually do something about it.
You think about it, I mean, it boils down to fear of loss and fear of death.
That's it.
And that until you're ready to die for something, you're not ready to live for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how people will do so many things to assure that they could live another day.
Yeah.
But they don't live at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the fear of loss. I'm going to lose my stuff and my things, my job, my family, my relationships. Instead of saying, I'm willing to take loss.
Yeah.
I'm willing to die for this, what I believe in. And you look at Hebrews when he says, think about all the ones that have lost all their possessions that was taken away from them, and they didn't shrink back in their faith, their confidence, and their peace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Saeed in jail. I mean, imagine the things they're going. Or you're looking at Miriam over in Sudan in a prison, sentenced to life, to death.
Right.
Because of what she believes in. And we still have to have that peace.
Right.
We still have to have that peace. And believe it or not, the thing is fear of death.
Hmm.
The fear of death is that you, and the reason why you would have fear of death, because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know him, then that is the hope. Yeah. Paul says, if all we have is hope for this life, and all you think about is this life, you don't know about Jesus, because Jesus is about the life beyond. We're living this life right now for him, mm-hmm. but we're going to be with him forever. Paul said we should be pitied more than anybody else. And if all you think about and all you worry about is all this stuff in your job, your house, your things, and your car, and your friends, and your relationship, your horizontal things going on, you're not even living for eternity.
That's right.
But when you're ready to go, imagine you're in an airplane right now, and you thought you were coming in for a landing, but they said we're experiencing some turbulence. Mm. And then they said, ladies and gentlemen, buckle your seatbelts. We're in for a bumpy ride. Then they said, ladies and gentlemen, we might not make it. Mm. And all of a sudden it goes into a nosedive. What use is it to be screaming and hollering? I mean, that's so ridiculous.
Right.
There's so many people, that's how they are. Every single day they feel like their plane has crashed. They live like a plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're working my last nerve. Just die already. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Christian, what are you so worried about?
Right.
But imagine, so you see this plane diving, coming to the ground, and you know it's getting closer and closer, and people are screaming like, it's about to be all over. I mean, what are you screaming about? You should have peace.
Mm-hmm.
You should understand, this is it. I knew that I lived my life for a reason, and the question is, the life that I have lived, was it worth Christ dying for? Because now I'm about to see God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's appointed once to die and then the judgment. And if you're willing to see yourself in that scenario, then what's the big deal about a job loss? What's the big deal about changing your home because you're losing the... I mean, these things happen, but it's not the end of the world.
That's right.
You know, and as Christians, they should be looking at our face as the plane is diving.
That's right.
And we should be going, well, looks like this is it. You know, and we could really, at that moment, you could preach the gospel.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
You know, and just let them know, you know, and they did. If they cried out to the Lord, if they made their mind up at that point, is that plane mm-hmm. coming down? Wouldn't that be great? You won the entire 747 right before you came to see me. Mm. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't pray. Don't get in a plane and pray that one goes down. But I'm just saying that's how we should live our lives. It's reported that Paul ran to the chopping block. It's reported that Peter said, okay, I don't mind being crucified. Just crucify me upside down so I don't look like anything the way Jesus was crucified.
Mm. Mm.
It's reported that, you know, when two men are going to be burned at a stake, you know, an angel appears and said, Polycarp, it's time to play the man. And it's time for us to believe in what we profess. Jesus said, don't fear somebody who can destroy the body and then he can't do nothing else. Fear the one who can destroy the body and throw you into hell.
Mm-hmm.
Eternity. And it's like, we live for God. And so, yeah.
It's liberating. You know,
and it's so liberating, because what can somebody take from someone who is willing to die for what they believe in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a reward for a believer. It's a reward for a believer to die for the cause, to suffer inconveniences and don't complain, to go through difficulty and trials and not shaken in your faith. That's like a sweet, fragrant offering to God. But sometimes you just think, you'd probably, people that I've known, you'd scream all the way down to hit the ground. I mean, God's going to go, you didn't even know you're about to see me in about 5 seconds. And you had no faith the whole time. You're screaming up your house and all this horizontal stuff, mm-hmm. and you're about to visit vertical.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, we have to live our life in knowing that if our plane went down today, it went down today, then we would be with the Lord today. Just all to right. be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. By the way, if you're a Christian, If you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you've repented from your sins, you ain't got nothing but good ahead of you. No more tears, no more pain, sickness, gold streets, all those wonderful things. I'm ready, Lord.
Let's go.
I mean, that was Paul's question. Paul's debate. Hey, to be absent for the body, to be present with the Lord. If right. I stay here, it's fruitful ministry. Right. What to do? But for your benefit, I'll stay. That's but exactly I won't be it. Sad if I go.
That's exactly it. More after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You're a single mom, and your 10-year-old boy needs a good male role model. But what can you do about that? Well, on today's Focus on the Family Minute, Dr. Gary Chapman offers a starting point.
Find some man older than your son, whom you respect and whom you trust, and ask him to make contact with your son and take him out to lunch. Everything starts with one event. It can be a lunch, it can be a breakfast, it can be a ball game. But relationships start with one contact. Ask that person to invite him to something. Get to know him. And then see what happens. And that person may well pick up on it. It may begin to become something that develops a relationship where this young man can trust this person and begin to open up to this person. But that young man needs somebody with whom he can talk.
It's true that guys need trusted older men to help navigate life. For more advice to help your family thrive, stop by focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at vfntv.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to vfntv.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns against, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business. Provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God. He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation that you want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order. It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth. We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
I don't want to say this too before we go, that if you have not yet experienced the VFN Dream Center, you need to. On the Gulf Coast, or maybe virtually, you can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org or vfmdreamcenter.org and come and experience every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Live on VFN TV, but also at 3 p.m. again, Central Time, and these are Central Times. Mm-hmm. The presence of the Lord was so powerful last Sunday, and so there's nothing like the presence of God, and that's all we want. We just want to be with God. We're so grateful that he wants to be with us. But you can do that. And you can find out more how to get there or how to connect to us virtually by going to vfndreamcenter.org and find out the details on the front.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about in this part of the program about abiding. Why we abide. You think about abiding. Abiding is just real simple. We can go to iabide.org and find out more about it. But, you know, Jesus says, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. We cannot be fruitful. Yet we're called to be fruitful. But it's spending time with God, hiding, hiding God's word in our heart, which is like reading it, but also memorizing some of it, and talking to God, you know, praying and listening back to what he has to say through his word, or maybe he may impress on you, give you a dream, and then doing what he says. And you think about, you know, why do we abide? You know, why do we abide? Think about Acts chapter 17, verse 11, when he talks about the Berean Jews. And he says, and the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Isn't that something? It's like, these were much wiser in Houston than they were in Dallas.
Right.
Much more noble character. For this is why they were noble. For they would receive the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. And that's so important to do. When you are abiding, you're examining the scriptures for everyday life. There's so many things going on. And one of the things that when you abide is that you learn to relate. You learn to relate to the Lord. You're building relationship with him. You're spending time with him. You have a relationship with those you spend time with. And so in that the first thing that happens, and he talks about it in John 15, but it's spending time with God. And you get to know his voice. You get to understand his thoughts, and he makes his secrets known to you, as he talks about in Proverbs chapter 1. But the first thing, the reason why you abide is to just to relate to God. You know, how are you going to relate to him when you spend no time with him at all?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find out that's your greatest part of your life, is the time that you spend with him. You're going to spend eternity with him. Why in the world would you not spend time with him you're going to spend eternity with? And then the next aspect of why we would abide would be to be fruitful. I mean, you think about it. He tells us, Jesus clearly tells us in John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, this is Jesus speaking, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing.
Hmm.
And it's like, my goodness, he says that many false people will come your way. Many false prophets will come your way. But the way you'd find out if they really are truly have a relationship with me is if they have fruit. You can tell by their fruit. And then Jesus is letting us know here that you can't have any fruit unless you spend time with him.
Yeah.
So the first thing is actually getting to know him, building a relationship. But the second thing is, this thing's going to be impossible without Jesus.
That's right.
But it's okay. He doesn't mind you to be totally dependent on him. The word humility is defined as total dependence on God and respect for other people. So it's not a negative thing. In men's eyes, it will. You hear people talk about, yeah, I'm an independent person. It's like, yeah, you're an island and God taught us about you. It's not good in the end. But we're called to be joined together in the body and to follow the Lord. And so the second thing is to be fruitful, have a fruitful life. And no matter what it is, all the functions of life God calls us to be in, that with Jesus, we can be fruitful. We can be fruitful with him, and that can only happen by spending time with him or abiding with him. And another thing that another dimension of why we would abide would be to know him. You can spend time with somebody, but you don't necessarily know him.
Hmm.
And Paul talks about this when he's writing to the church of the Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 11. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate somehow in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, so somehow attaining the resurrection of the dead. So you can hang out with God and have a relationship with him, but it's when you know him in the context of what he says for us to do, and then you walk out what he said, and it's like you can't just know him by reading his word. You have to make it a practicum in your life. You have to walk out suffering without complaining. You have to go through trials, and in that suffering, and if you wouldn't have spent time with him, if you wouldn't have abided in his word, you wouldn't have been able to apply that to that moment. So we know him in difficult situations, in difficult times, in the testing of our faith. And so knowing God, is not the beginning of knowing God is spending time with him. But the application and the end of knowing God is walking with him in what you're going through in your day-to-day life. And so in that one part of abiding is to know him. And some people say, well, I know him because you know about him if you just read his word. But if you don't apply the word, like according to George Barna, 97% of the people who call themselves Christians do not know God in the context of applying his word, because they say 81% don't even read their Bibles. And out of the 19% that are reading their Bibles, only 3% of those actually apply it to their life, which means they're knowing God in this mannerism that I'm talking about. And another thing that the Word of God does in abiding, when you're abiding with God, why we abide is to expose our own selves to ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, no man knows his own heart. And the Word of God just searches your heart. It's like a mirror, and it just looks deep into your heart. And if you spend time abiding with God, you'll find out you need God. Mm-hmm. And things happen, and things come up in your life, and He has a remedy for everything in His Word. But Hebrews 4, chapter 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and it's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." And somebody says, you know, they're having a real rough day. And it's like, did you abide? I can't quote exactly what somebody said to me. He says, "You're going to have a real bad day if you don't abide."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Something like
that.
Yeah. And because it's impossible to live out your day without spending time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Word of God, now, another aspect of abiding is it just searches your heart. And all of a sudden, you're able to evaluate the reasons why you're doing what you're doing. Because God's Word will, you know, you get the motives will come out. And it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be bad motives. Sometimes you can find out that your heart's moving in agreement with God, and it's just really encouraging because you know you're walking in agreement with God. And so that's another reason why we abide. And you think about, if you're not abiding, you're missing all these opportunities that we're talking about. And finally, and this is not all, but this is what I'm talking about, is abiding with God exposes false teachings and those ones who make false claims. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about that in verse 14. He says, because of not knowing Christ and knowing his teachings, he says, you'll be tossed back and forth like infants and blown like the wind and the waves by the teaching and the cunningness and craftiness of men. In other words, I know it. It's just a shocker to me, too. There's people who do things in the name of God who don't know God, and they're just wicked. I mean, they're just doing things, and they really think they're deceived. If you follow that, you're going to be like the wind blown around. You're going to be like the waves being tossed back and forth. And you're just, you know, it's cunningness, it's craftiness, and it's done in the name of God. But if you abide with the Lord, you know this because you spent time in His Word, abiding, hiding His Word in your heart, talking to God, listen to Him. And you have this relationship with the Lord. It's this dimensional relationship with Jesus. And that's what He wants. He called you to relationship, not to religion. So all these things are prevented in knowing Christ, and you know Him and abiding with Him. So if you want to find out more, if you don't know how have a plan to abide, most people want to, we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org, iabide.org. Begin your abiding plan today and get this great experience, this dimensional living experience that God has called you to, and walk around not perishing, because God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You're going to have all kinds of knowledge and relationship with the Lord. Just like Adam walked with the Lord in the garden, you can walk with God now through His Son, Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand, it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying, you know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God. Mm. He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation that you want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our radio audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello. I don't know where that came from.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
We're just talking in the break time about Pat and his sleep deprivation. Mm. And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
He only got 9 hours sleep last night.
Yeah. Only nine, yeah, right.
Just sleep a little bit more, man. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's like 2 days worth of sleep.
Well, oh, so Pat and I were in Washington, D.C.
Oh, please do tell.
We were in Washington, D.C., and he looks strong. All I got to do is keep him up all night. I mean, it'll be over.
Yeah, much.
But it's so much. It's a facade.
Yes.
And so we're staying at this particular guy's house for staying in the gap, actually.
Yeah.
And he had this deep passion for God, you know, knowing him as
father's heart.
And and so he's talking to us, and we've been on all day long through the mall and just zoos and whatever else in Washington. And so I'm listening to this guy. I'm just like on the edge of my seat, right? And Pat's kind of sitting here to the back side of me, and they had pizza. And he was sitting on the edge of the table, and he's whispering. He's saying...
The guy is.
Yeah. Patting his hands claw. And so the guy's going, it's the Father's heart. Right?
It's the Pat?
It's like, no.
The guy.
I'll show you Pat in a moment. So I'm leaning forward. I'm like, this guy's got it. It's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. So I'm so intense and intrigued. I'm thinking, this guy's got it. And I look back at Pat, and Pat's like, his face was hanging down. He was chewing on a piece of pizza. I'm looking like, you ain't even listening. It's the Father's heart. And I found out why he was whispering, because he didn't want to wake up Jezebel. He was actually held captive.
Down in the basement.
He was dead. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But we had a wonderful time.
It was
a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time. Well, talking about the program today.
Yeah. Welcome.
Yes. Welcome. John has been involved in mobs in the Atlanta airport.
Yeah.
And I personally believe, you know, don't get into the mob business, because if you study the Word of God, if you're hearing what God is saying, that's always the Alinsky technology, you know, techniques. Mm. And you get all people hyped up about mobs and stuff. And good things don't happen normally to Christians and Jews when mobs happen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. People that are going against the grain. And ask Jesus, crucify him. But either way, I mean, John's got a mob at the airport.
Yeah, there's a mob at the airport, a good mob.
Oh, this is a good mob.
This is a good mob. Not like a crazy mob. This is a good mob.
Okay.
And they're at Atlanta Terminal, and I guess they are on a worship team or a choir, and they're passing through. And I guess they're at a, you know, there's a delay, and all of a sudden someone starts to sing. And I want you to see this video and just see what happens.
You never done that before in the Atlanta?
No, just never had the urge just to get up and start singing in, at the hub.
But that would be so funny just to stand up and do that, and everybody looks at you, nobody else sings, like, who else is going to pick it up from me?
Well, I do stuff like that with my children all the time. Hey, you know, in public. So that doesn't bother me, but watch this video and you'll see.
Okay. Let's look.
Atlanta terminal. Listen, next time you fly.
I do that all the time when I'm in Atlanta.
Well, just spontaneous worship. You see the stewardess behind. She actually gave the mic to one of the singers to start singing over the PA. That was really, really interesting.
I think Atlanta would be probably more open to the gospel.
Definitely. Atlanta seems to be a really, really open city to the Lord and the gospel and worship. But pretty interesting. Very good. Of all the things that could happen in the airport, that's a good thing.
Well, I want to talk about, when we get back from the break, when Paul's writing a letter. I mean, think about it. Paul had third heaven revelation where God took him up and things he couldn't even talk about. And you think, my goodness.
Wow.
And he wrote almost 50% of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And but he said, he wrote a letter to Timothy, his spiritual son. He said, listen, he said, but mark this. And he starts talking about what it's going to be like in the last days. And we'll look at it, just a quick little checklist, and say, you know, are these things happening now? Because I was writing this little checklist. I'm thinking, my goodness, it's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul wrote about it and said, this is going to happen. And it's happened. As a matter of fact, when you come out for break, you got to hear this. It's totally amazing how many things are happening and how this is actually a sign of our Lord's soon return. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, I was just thinking, I want a sailboat. I want to be able to sail in the Gulf of Mexico. And a small one, just real, like, about, like...
I had one when we were kids. Remember that?
Yep.
I should oh, get out of Dodge. I remember on that. Second Street?
Yeah.
Oh, was it like a Sunfin or something?
It was not very big.
Yeah.
Like 14 footer.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I don't know what it would be called, but it's just to get on the beautiful water out there. Don and I were traveling this weekend, and we came over a body of water at some point. And it's just so peaceful. The second you come out of all whatever's going on in the land and stuff, and you come over a bridge and there's water on both sides of you, it's just so peaceful. Something serene about, I mean, think about the glassy sea, you know, in heaven.
What's cool about that is they don't break down.
They don't, yeah.
Like motors, man.
Right. I'm going to go get some stuff from the store. Get on the sailboat. We're going to go to the store.
No fuel.
Just wind. And, I really thought about that. So I'll be looking for one that's, fairly about 14 foot, I'm thinking. Something like Jim had.
Something you can handle by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I had a story, you know, years ago, we used to live on the beach, and Daphne, my sister, and I, when we were younger, rented a Sunfin. I think it was like a Sunfin, maybe a little bit bigger than a Sunfin. And we got on the bay, the Pensacola Bay, and we were going to just sail across the bay because we've been living on the island. So what's the big deal? It's just a little kite with a boat on it. Mm-hmm. And we got on, we rented the sailboat, and we got on the water, and we sailed perfectly. Straight out. Just like 90 miles an hour. Like, this is great.
Right to the Gulf?
We would have hit the bridge, probably went with that. But it just straight out, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. And then we realized, we don't know how to go to the right, we don't know how to go to the left, we don't know how to turn around, we can just go straight, like when we were diving that time.
Right.
And so we had to, we tried to spin that puppy. We tried to tic-tac it, you know, all these different things that they supposedly said. And then we were over all the seaweed, nasty stuff. And as a kid, your imagination's going wild. Like, we can't get out here. We can't walk it here. And finally, we just pulled it up on shore on the other side of in another city. And I stayed with the sailboat, and Daphne walked all the way over the bridge.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and came back and got the folks. And she's probably laughing when we're talking about this. And they came and got the boat. It was pretty tragic. So, obviously, I'm going to need some lessons. But my doctor told me that he would teach me. He would teach me. He says it's real peaceful, and it's a great, a stress releaser. And it's pretty cool to be on the water out there. I remember once we were swimming as kids, and that was a perfect life. I wish I would have known how to enjoy it better back then.
I know. Right?
Life works backwards, right? The frontal lobe don't develop till you're like 25. Mm.
Yep.
You can't really appreciate things.
Yeah.
And every day I would get up, come home from school, and I would be on an island. I'm a, like, flipper. I mean, this is like, I'm on the island every day. And I would go swimming, and we'd do all these different things together. But I would have enjoyed it even better. And it was amazing how many friends we had when we lived on the beach, because everybody would come over and visit.
Yeah, right.
We didn't realize that we were the beach house. That's why they were actually coming.
Imagine that.
The beach house. So that's my excursion, and losing weight and getting a sailboat by God's grace.
Great plan.
Yes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. If you haven't yet seen the 7-year foretold prophecy that has unfolded and is unfolding, you can go watch it. You can watch it actually take place.
Mm-hmm.
It's put together. It's on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, and it's also on our Facebook.
Yep.
So you can go there. How many thousands of people just that
I think
one?
8,800.
8,800 folks. Just you can join. You want to think about it. It's going to encourage you to see how God is involved in our day-to-day life. He is involved in the affairs of men. We just have to listen to what he's saying, and we need to respond to what he's saying. It's very, very important. We're talking about, you know, a letter that was written to Timothy, a spiritual son of Paul. And it was pretty interesting, because you think about it, that he's writing, this is the only communication that Timothy's going to have, as Paul's writing him this letter, and he's talking to him about the last days. And think about it. He's talking to Timothy about the last days. And you think about it. So, well, it could be the last day. This is talking to Timothy about it. And this is what he says. He says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, he says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful and proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then he says, have nothing to do with them. Mm. Have nothing to do with them. And you start thinking about it, it's like, my goodness, what a list.
Mm.
Thank God that that's not happening today.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, he says, but mark my word, he's saying this was how it's going to be in the last days. And what I think about when, you know, we're told that it's going to be like in the days of Noah. Because so many people are trying to make things better instead of win people's hearts to God and allow God to make them personally better.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? You win a nation by winning its people's hearts. You don't win a nation by changing its government. You know, by having a conservative. I mean, it's good. We want people, you know, being sure. Loves to have the values and stuff. But, you know, why not lead the person to the Lord? Why not pray for their salvation?
Right.
And he said, but mark my words, he says, you know, people will be lovers of themselves. And people talk, I mean, you think about it today. People are talking about there's divorce and the redefining marriage and there's same-sex attraction and there's, you know, gay marriage and all this kind of stuff. But the biggest issue is not all of that. The biggest issue is that most people just love themselves. They choose themselves yeah. over you, over their families, over God. The biggest issue today is not all this other things going on. The biggest thing is people are lovers of themselves. And it's amazing. It's like, and how many people we profess to be Christians are, and Jesus told us, he says, we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's like, if somebody doesn't deny themselves, they're expecting you to pay homage to them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you always bringing you up here? I mean, didn't we deny right. ourselves some time back? Are we in this conversation again?
Did you skip that message?
Did you skip that message? And so I would say, if I'm going to check off a list, I would think like, check. People will be lovers of themselves. I mean, mm-hmm. how many people today, I mean, because especially with all the technology, are they saying, you know, hey, I got my images. I don't need nobody. I got mm-hmm. my virtual games and all these different things. And
exactly.
You know, I don't need anybody. Mm-hmm. This one man divorced his wife and said, all I want is my computer.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's right.
Catch a clue.
Dude, you are wow, had. You're... And then the next thing, that's just the first thing. Then he says, people will be lovers. People will be love. You got to oil that thing. People will be lovers of money. Think about it. Think about it. People will be mm-hmm. lovers of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Jesus came out and said specifically, I think it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 or something. He says, you can't serve God and serve money. You can't love God and love money. You have to make up your mind which one you're going to do. So that if people will be lovers of money, they're not lovers of God. It's not, hey, I appreciate money. Yeah, you want to have some funds to be able to do something, but understand that you can't love God, love money and God at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the signs is that money will take a prominence in society. And when we think about it, the mark of the beast is an economic mark.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all about money. People talk all day long about things, but it boils down to money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their job is about their money and their stuff and their things and that type of thing. So I would say what? Check.
Mm-hmm.
Check. And then, of course, this is definitely not happening here. It says people will be boastful.
Testimony?
Well, Pat and the Saints.
All right. Well, that's actually a simultaneous act of humility to be a fan of the Saints.
Because that's right.
He was before and after.
That's right.
And being boastful. I mean, some folks, I'm telling you, I mean, it's just really difficult to hear them over their own praise. Did I tell you about what I did? Yes, 5 minutes ago.
A few times.
And boastful. And so I would say, I mean, think about how many people are wanting their name up in lights. They're wanting their 15 minutes of fame. They don't care what it is as long as they just get themselves lifted up. I mean, you look at the like American Idol, X Factor, and all these folks trying to. And they're okay with the humiliations as long as they got to be boastful about themselves.
That's the new poll right now.
What's the new poll?
That's the new poll that young people, they don't care about being successful. They just want to be famous for anything.
Yes. Yeah, it would be boastful, which it goes along, check. Next one's proud. You know? And so just check.
Yeah, exactly.
And the next one is abusive. You know, 50 plus million children we've killed before they've taken their first breath. Just across the world. I mean, it's just very abusive. Getting a life sentence for making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life over in Sudan. Yeah. But it's all these things are going to increase. Paul was saying, listen, Timothy, these things are going to increase. He says, but mark my word, this is going to happen. And some people are such, they're into social justice movements where they're trying to make society better instead of making people better. And society won't change. You can't feed enough hungry people to fix the hunger problem. The hunger problem, we can turn to God, and God will give us wisdom on how to grow things to be able to feed ourselves. God's good. Here's another one. So abusive would be check. Disobedient to parents.
Nah.
I mean, think about that. I mean, it's, the concept of just obeying parents is so far gone. It's like they're not even offering a suggestion to obey. I was listening to Ben Crosby. Ben Crosby, the one that says, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Bing. Bing Crosby?
Is it Bing?
Bing, yeah.
That's a search engine.
It's Bing.
Spell it.
B-I-N-G.
O-N-G-O. Anyway, so the... So he's one of the things, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Well, he said, they asked him this question in an interview, old interview. If your son came to your house, your child came to your house and wasn't married and wanted to sleep with their girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever it was in your house, what would you say to that? He says, well, it just wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen. And then he said something. He said, and I would sing like something like Aloha. You know, Aloha, baby. And then he said, I would never speak to them again.
Wow.
This is an interview, an older interview.
Wow.
But it's like, today, it's just like, how many people are so disrespectful to their parents? They know what their parents stand for. They know their parents walk, and they just blatantly, and it's encouraged by government. I mean, you look at over in Israel, when our own leaders went to Israel, our own president told the young people, listen, you're the ones. You know, and they're trying to bring an uprising, basically, against the older folks that fought for Israel to bring it to where it is today. And the same thing's been happening in America. And it's like they're promoting disobedience to parents. The way they're promoting the health care. They're promoting promiscuity and all this different stuff. It's totally against those parents and what they would want for their children. So check. Then he says people will be ungrateful. Check. I mean, think about it. America's, if our poorest folks are richer than 70% of the world, that means middle class in America and above are the richest people in the world. In the world, but how grateful are we for that? We just demand more. Ungrateful, boom, check. Unforgiving, check. Without love, I mean, how many people are looking for love? They're just trying to find love, and people are saying, no, I'm looking for love too, so I'm not going to give you what I want. You know, and withholding love, and it's like, you know, God is love, and there's people without having God in that culture, you're not going to be able to love. Because he is love. You can't reject God and have love. You can have what you perceive to be love, but look at it. It leaves you totally empty and without anything because it wasn't love. It was something that your flesh wanted. Unforgiving, slanderous. The people are slanderous. Like, oh my goodness. It's amazing. Without self-control. I mean, you're talking to somebody for the 15th time. Did you ever? Right. How about this time? Right. This time, would you know, it's like, check. Brutal. I mean, the brutality in people's conversations and the hatefulness. And where you have a teacher just this week, I believe, that was in a classroom and a student just punched the teacher out and knocked him flat on his back in the classroom, attacking bus drivers on the bus situations and kids ganging up on other kids and just videoing them being brutal and just beating other kids. Like there's total disconnect. Kids walking into schools and just shooting and killing other ones, going and consciously saying, I'm going to go kill this baby in my womb and I'm not going to try like this doesn't exist. And it's brutality to that child.
And the content.
and record it and say, I have no problem. Everybody's with me in this. Well, everybody's not with you.
That's right.
You've convinced yourself of that, and now you know you're living with that. And finally, he says, and not lovers of good. How many people just want bad things? They can't. You watch a movie with somebody and they go, it's like, what? It was good. It had a happy ending. Things went good. It's like, no, I want to see death, mayhem, and tragedy, and shootings, and all that. It's like, why? Why not watch something that's uplifting and that's not lovers of good? It's too good. Mm. If it's rated good, I don't want to see it. If it's rated G, I don't want to see it. I just want to see something that's not good. Treacherous. Check. Rash. Check. Conceited. Come on. Mm. I mean, think about that. This is what Paul's writing Timothy and saying, this is how, mark my word, it'll be like this in the last days. And you think about it, the way that a politician gets into office, he just feeds into these mindsets. She just feeds into these mindsets. You're going to have to feed these conceited folks things about themselves. I'll give you money. I'll take care of your health care. I'll do everything for you. You'll never have to work again in your life. We'll develop socialism. And you'll do it. And it's like conceited folks are like, yes, I think about nobody but myself. Right. And so you know, that's how you would speak to somebody that's conceited. You know, they're easily controlled because you just got to make them feel good about what you're doing. And politicians take advantage of that all the time. And look at this one. This one's huge. He's telling Timothy, he says, Timothy, mark my word, this will be in the last days. He says, people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I mean, 81% of Christians, according to statistics, don't even pick up the Bible. Don't even pick up their Bible at all. What are you doing when you're not picking up your Bible? People not going to have fellowship with other believers and spending time with God. And it's like, oh, I wanted to go surfing. I wanted to go fishing. I don't want to go to that church thing anymore. I don't want to spend time with, oh, I don't want to spend time with Christians. I don't want to. You're loving pleasure rather than lovers of God. And it's not going to end up well for you. It's not going to end up well for you at the judgment seat of Christ. And then he says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Think about this. The church was birthed in power. When you talk about power, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. And you can talk about a lot of things, even God and Jesus. But if you come against the Holy Spirit, if you come against the power and the presence of God, it's going to be really, really a tough thing. He says, having a form of church religion of godliness, but denying the power. Dear Lord, we are in the last days. Mm-hmm. We are in those days. We just say, Maranatha, right? Come, right. Lord Jesus, come.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.